Well, hello, my friends. It's been a little bit, and I hope you are well. I am really excited. I'm not excited every time about topics, but I'm really excited about this topic today because it's kind of leftovers for me, convenient for the fact this is right after Thanksgiving, but it's kind of leftovers in a weird way for me. So today's message is about the perfect podcaster or just the perfect whatever, right? And the reason is because I woke up today still stuck on yesterday. Why? Well, for two reasons. The first one relates to last night. I got home late. I was tired. I went out with some friends and for dinner and got home and went kind of catching up on the day and going through things that I hadn't had a chance to do during the day, and was looking through some bills. I don't know about you with bills, but sometimes they don't always go the way we want them to. And as I'm looking through bills, and my husband's in the other room, I brought to his attention some things that we needed to talk about, which in turn ended up with a blow up between me and my husband. It's really not funny, but it is kind of funny now today. But I'm waking up into this, right? And so I have this blow up with my husband, and then it's followed by a glance into the kitchen in which I had just spent 3 hours prior before leaving to meet with some people. I had just spent all that time cleaning it and just turn around and find the stovetop and sink full of dirty dishes. Do you ever wonder what they do when you're gone? So my second thought is a little bit different than these two, but my second thought is centered around my relationship with God. And so what I really wanted to do this morning with you was a video cast, which I am working on, by the way. But I wanted to do that because I wanted to invite you into my life for a minute. Just for a brief minute, but just to be there with me. Why? Again, there's a few reasons for that as well. I wanted you to see a few things, like my dirty hair and my blackened eyes from yesterday's leftover makeup, and the artificial tree sitting on my porch that's still disassembled, and the broken freezer that's sitting in my backyard, long story, and the dirty dishes still in my sink, because they also don't do them when you go to bed. But what I wanted you to see is all of my imperfectness. Because the glimpses that we get into people's lives are rarely of this view. And the same is true about my faith and my relationship with God. So there's a strange phenomenon that I think that we're all guilty of falling into from time to time. It's this belief that those in leadership have some unique gift to do all things well. It's like we think that they excel in their areas of expertise without much effort, that they just kind of wake up with these fantastic dreams and then they have the fortitude to see them come true. Well, I think there's some truth in that. They also have really ugly arguments with their significant others or spouses. They also have dirty messes in their kitchens. Why? Because they're human, right? And this is a really important topic for me because both my husband and I have leadership roles, and so people sometimes see us in this view, but leaders still have leaders above them, and so both of us still look towards others, and there's this comparison and contrast that goes on sometimes, right? And so I wished that you could have come into my house today to see the disorder and the way I looked when I wake up. I'm on call on third shifts, and so when I wake up, I still have makeup on my face in case I have to go to the hospital in the middle of the night. But when I wake up in the morning, it's not a pretty sight. And my hair is never, when you have curly hair and you sleep and sweat, it's never pretty, right? But yet somehow we have these strange sensations that, or strange thoughts that people don't wake up like we do. And that's not true, right? Because leaders still have these messes. They still work really hard to overcome the ugly to get to the great. And that's kind of where I want to spend a little time this morning. When I thought about that, and I thought about leaders and how they work to overcome some stuff, I thought about my oldest son. I think he brings a good example of working hard. He's a natural athlete. Like, it's his gift, right? And he played high school football, but actually, as far back as I can remember, he played sports of some sort, but he played football as far back as I can remember. I'm not sure if that was second or third grade when he started. And when he went to college, he was accepted on the football team sort of as a walk-on. It was kind of a weird situation. I guess you would classify it as a walk-on. But anyhow, somewhere along the way, I made this comment to him that really disturbed him. I don't recall the actual words, but it was something to the effect that he hasn't had to work to be athletic. Because like I said, he's naturally athletic. But there's a significant difference between the two things, as I found out. So my oldest son, actually both of them, but my oldest son rarely speaks up to me. And in this case, he definitely did. Again, I don't recall the exact conversation that we had, but he asked me point blank if I really didn't believe that he had to work at being an athlete, or if I really believed that. And then he went on to tell me that he has always been, I guess he didn't tell me, he kind of just reminded me because I watched this. But he said to me, you know, I've always been the smallest team member on any sport or any team that I've participated in. In fact, there's a lot of truth in what he actually did, because he was always first in the weight room. Even when they weren't working out, he was in the weight room. He was always first on the field. He worked out at home. He studied plays constantly. Most of us would see he actually lived and breathed sports. And I think he did it because it was a passion. Okay, it was most definitely that. To this day, he still loves sports, and I'm sure that he's always going to do so because I think it's a passion, right? Yeah, he did those things not just out of love, but out of his desire to play and to be good at it. And the same is true for leaders who excel. Most of them don't see dollar signs when they wake up and then find out they find them when they walk out the door. It's a little harder than that, right? In fact, the truth is that those people who are successful at their work first have within them a passion for what it is that they're doing. Dave Ramsey is a popular financial advisor in the Christian world, and he openly tells his story of when he fell as a businessman, and there was a piece of deceit there in his life between him and his wife, and he had it all, right? But he also had dirty dishes. My husband's a fire chief, but he still leaves freezers in the yard, long story. And I have a master's degree in religion, and I teach biblical studies. But far too often in my own life, I put my relationship with God on the sidelines while I do what I consider is as work for him, right? I'm righteous because I'm doing work for God. And when I invite others to do a spiritual journey with me, it's not just for their benefit. It's actually really cool for me. I get to slow down and recenter my faith on the reasons why I do life. I had to ask this question. Are you caught up in this thought process that everyone else's life is all put together? Or at least some aspect of it is put together. When my son was a senior in high school, I worked in the local schools, and I would have middle schoolers come up to me and want to talk about how great he was. They forgot I was his mom, right? So I wanted to say to him, yep, yesterday he got into a fight with his sister. Or you should see his room. Or yeah, let me tell you about his grades, right? But I didn't say those things. I'm sure that there are many things that we get from these types of distance relationships. And one of them that I think we get is this sense of drive to do better and a sense of hope. So I didn't go to those places with those kids because I didn't want to diminish that for them. But there's a truth behind who we are and what drives us. Okay, so I often get accused of going in more than one direction at a time. But if you have 7 kids, you learn how to talk all at once, and you can do some amazing zigzagging and talking all at the same time. So, but before I go into the other idea of hope and drive, let me zag back to this idea of a false ideal. Straight out, it's unhealthy for us to fall into this belief. Tell me you don't, and I'm gonna really try hard to not smile at you or chuckle under my breath. Because truth be told, we see people all the time who look put together, who carry themselves well in the face of adversity, or who drive nice cars or live in big houses, and so we tend to think that means that everything is good for them. And these thoughts are not bad in themselves, but the issue becomes when we put ourselves up against those. The moment that we believe that someone else's life is without the dirt and grime of life, that's the moment when we've leaned into those lies. And none of us escape scraped up knees or dirty dishes or broken Christmas trees or worse, pain. If you're waiting for me to say it's all how we handle it, then I hate to tell you, you're going to be disappointed. Because that's not what I want you to take away from here today. I want you to learn how to take a deep breath in your moments of weakness. Let me explain. So last night when I saw the sink and the stove, I did a natural thing. I mumbled a complaint under my breath. I'm always amazed by my husband, who cannot hear me use a regular tone of voice in the conversation, who can pick up the words that I mumble under my breath. But just the same, he did. The unfortunate thing is that he picked up on those mumbled words just after we had stopped having an argument. We were just sort of at peace with one another. We hadn't come to that place where we fully were at peace. So you know what's coming, right? And you're probably going to be right if you're thinking that he got mad, because he did. He just naturally got mad. There's nothing wrong with how he responded. Because it wasn't unjustified. The first argument was unjustified because I was right. Anyhow. But this time his frustration was clearly deserved. I had given him about a total of 30 seconds before I opened up another tension between us. Neither one of us got an opportunity to take a deep breath. Neither one of us got to process that original argument. And he didn't get to be forgiven by me before I threw him right back into the fire of conflict. And part of our understanding our own weaknesses falls in line with being humble. When we learn to recognize these places in our lives and we stand down during moments of heightened tension, we're not being humbled as the world likes to see it. Instead, we're actually offering a gift. when we humble ourselves in a situation, whether it's good or bad, we're recognizing our own humanness, which also means that we recognize that we have weaknesses that take constant work to change. Years ago, I was at a track meet, and I was privy to be there when my son was approached by another athlete. The young man was very obviously excited to talk with my son, and he told him that he wished he could be more like him. It was kind of a really cool thing to observe. I didn't speak up. I just kind of stood and watched. And then this kid went on to ask my son his secrets for success. Now, mind you, this is a 16, 17-year-old teenage boy. And my son was a 16, 17-year-old teenage boy. So it's interesting what we think of as success. But my son's response to him was really interesting. His secret was offered up as, it takes hard work and commitment. You see, my son understood that he was only 5'7 and 150 pounds in a world of sprinters who were 6 foot, or football players who were 6 foot and 200 pounds plus. He knew his physical weaknesses, and so he worked really hard to turn them into strengths. So don't get caught up in this idea, this illogical belief that people have it all together. Instead, turn those moments and those thoughts into glimpses of your own weaknesses. I promise that's not so scary. But ask yourself, why am I seeing what they do as so much different than what I do? What's the contrast there, right? It's okay to see their strengths. And again, there was another piece of that, and I'll touch back on it in a second. But right now, what I want you to see is this idea that we put them in a place of power or prestige or a pedestal, right? And so I'm asking you to not put them there, but to think about why you're putting them there. So what is that glimpse that is contrasting them to you? Because in that, we're seeing our own weakness. But are we noticing that we have weakness, or are we just comparing and saying we're not as good? And so that's what I want you to do. I want you to look at this illogical belief that these people have it all together and go, okay, well, wait a minute. What are my weaknesses? What is it that I need to see in myself? And then reshape your thoughts and your actions to move beyond that weakness. Okay, so if your weakness is, first of all, it has to be logical, because if you're saying I'm not as good, that's not logical. Because there's nothing to back that up with. So if your weakness is, I don't run a 10-second 100, I don't even know if that's a good time, so my apologies if it's bad or good. But if I don't run that, what is my weakness? I'm running a 13. What do I need to do? I probably don't work out in the weight room every day. Maybe I need to shift that. Okay, that's logical. Noticing of weakness and then reshaping my thoughts and my actions to move beyond. My thoughts are, I have the potential to be this good. What actions do I need to take to move beyond that? I know this is a very simplistic thing, but you can apply that to every aspect of who you are. So you see your weakness, you see it in truth. Is it logical? If it's illogical, throw it out, dude, because it doesn't matter. Sorry if you're a woman and you're listening, but throw it out, right? It doesn't matter. If it's logical, it's also adjustable. Okay, so we need to learn to take a hold of it and reshape it. What do I need to do? How do I need to think about this differently? And then move forward and move beyond. Eventually, it takes time, but eventually you'll move beyond that negativity. And the part that I didn't mention earlier is that those people that we see, like this young man saw my son, it's okay to look towards those people for hope and encouragement because they've done something that you want to do. That's good. That gives us drive. It gives us purpose. It gives us encouragement. That's okay. Just don't put yourself in compare and contrast with those people because they still have dirty dishes sitting on their sink at night and they still have arguments with people they love. But they can do something for you if you look at them in the right context. So this whole message was about the physical and the mental recognition and reshaping. But I want to touch on another thought because I also believe that the same thing is true for those of us who are Christians. We often see others around us and think that they're more faithful because their financial giving or their prayer life, their time. But whatever it is, in some way, we've become incredibly disillusioned by this, kind of like the athlete, right? And we condemn ourselves, whether it's about not reading our Bibles more, or we feel guilty about our prayer time that for us may happen in the car and not in some war room or war closet. Excuse me. But there are times in scripture, there are too many times in scripture for me to tell you about, that God calls us to this place of remembrance. If you are a Christian, you've probably taken communion. Communion is remembrance. It's remembrance of what he does. And there are just too many examples of that in scripture. But what he is saying is he's not saying to us, remember to read the Bible. Remember to pray. Remember to give more charitably. Actually, the examples that God uses is, remember me, as in God, right? Remember God. Remember me. Remember me, the God of Abraham? Do you remember that God? And remember in that, that Abraham is the father of all nations, not just the Jewish nation. Abraham is father to every descendant on earth. Guess what? That makes me, God, your father. God tells us to remember. Remember that I am the God of Abraham and remember that I am your father. And remember that from the beginning of time, I have been faithful to you even in the worst of your times. Your picture in his looks different. Be careful how you condemn on that. But remember, God says, that I have been faithful. Remember that I have always longed to walk with you and to talk with you like I did with Adam and Eve in the beginning. Remember. He doesn't say remember to pray. Remember that I've always longed to walk and talk with you. Remember that God has always, always wanted to be present in your life. And when you find yourself comparing your faith to that of others, I encourage you, don't fall into the same trap that we do with our physical and mental selves. Recognize God for who he is. Remember him for who he has been in your life. And that's different for each of us because we each have our own stories that lead us to pray, to read, or to give as individuals at our own individual rate of speed. Remember who God is for you. Remember and recognize your weaknesses. And then tell God about it. And allow him and to work with you and you work with him. This is not just a one-on-one thing. Do this together. Reshape your thoughts and your actions. And then lavish in the goodness that comes from the intimacy of being in relationship with, hear this. I'm going to say it again. I really want you to hear this. Remember and then lavish in the goodness that comes from the intimacy of being in relationship with the King of the entire earth. I love you, my friend. I'm so grateful that you've given me the honor to go on this journey with you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for allowing me to be a part. Before I end today, I want to do something that I don't typically do, but I'm really feeling led to do today. I am currently in the process of looking for five, that sounded really weird, process. It's not a process, but I'm actually interested in looking for about five people who are interested in doing some private spiritual mentoring sessions with me. I love doing stuff in person, but I also offer these online resources. It's easy to sign up for them. Just simply go to my website at monicaswank.com, and then from the homepage at the bottom there, you'll find a contact button. And when you send me your contact information, I'll get back with you within a few days and we'll set something up. Okay? In the meantime, blessings to you.